Clayton. John Clayton.
Hey, Mom! I'm done with my segment!
This is the Coors Light Cold Hard Facts with John Clayton.
Brought to you by Coors Light. Made to chill.
Time to talk some football with the professor, John Clayton. The only time we're going to be able to talk with John this week, we got abbreviated shows the next 2 days. So if you've got questions, this is when you want to get them in. 710-710. Try to get to some of your questions before we let John go for the day. Hello, John.
Hey, I missed you guys. And then on top of it, only 1 hour on Saturday because of Yankee baseball.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
So, boy,
8 to 9.
Yankees are just shoving you all around, John.
Absolutely.
Another reason to hate them.
Do you hate the Yankees, John?
I'm a reporter.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah. John,
remember,
it's okay.
No, I don't. I mean, I don't root against anybody. It's like I don't root for anybody. I just, you know, it's like don't hate anybody. It's like no, it's like they're a traditional team. All those things that are good, I guess, but they are certainly hated. It's kind of like the New England Patriots.
Would you rather see the Mariners win a World Series or the Yankees?
I would rather see the Mariners because, one, it's going to be good for the city. Two, it's going to be good for us at the station. And it's like, I think I'd rather see, because, you know, the Yankees have won. This city has never had a baseball team that has gone to the World Series or won a World Series.
That's very true. That's very true. In fact, it's been about 2 decades since they've made the postseason, John.
Exactly.
I think it's okay to pull for the Mariners. Hey, we were just talking out here about Dwayne Brown. We saw him walking around out here. He's not participating. Any level of concern with him in terms of his contract situation that doesn't get resolved in an amicable, peaceful way?
Well, again, we're in a kind of a new age right now because there was only one hold out, and that was for 2 days when Zach Wilson didn't get his contract done with the New York Jets. But that he was the only player who didn't show up at the beginning of camp. Now what we have is what's called hold-ins. And hold-ins are guys like Jamal Adams and Dwayne Brown and Xavier Howard and Deshaun Watson and different players like that don't go in. And they're there. They'll attend meetings. They'll do Zoom. They'll do everything else except practice, because what their idea is that, you know, if I get hurt, I lose a lot of money. Because, like in the case of Dwayne Brown, and my read on it is that once they get a Jamal Adams deal, they can probably get something done quickly with Dwayne Brown, because I know he's 36. But again, look what Andrew Whitworth did the last 2 years with the Rams, basically about $10 million a year on 1 year deals. And so this is going to be Whitworth's last year. I wouldn't say it's going to be Brown's last year, but he's not going to be in a position to get much of a raise. So I think that once they get an Adams deal done, then they can get something done with Dwayne Brown.
The other thing we were talking about, John, in as it relates to Dwayne Brown, is I was telling Dave, I don't think they've got their next left tackle on the roster. I think they've got somebody who could fill in, whether it's Jamarco Jones, what have you. But in terms of identifying a young guy who could be the guy to take over that spot whenever Dwayne Brown moves on, I don't think he's on this team right now. Do you?
No, they have a couple of transitional guys. I mean, one that's not practicing and Jamarco Jones. Cedric Aboye, you know, is a former first round pick, and it seems like he's picked up steam since coming out here to Seattle. I mean, he can fill in, but he's just going to be a bridge. And that's what they would have right now. They would have a bridge to the next guy. And so you would figure next year there's got to be an effort to try to see about getting a left tackle of the future, because that's going to be needed.
What did you make of Pete? I don't know if you heard this, John, because, yeah, we haven't had you on for a couple of days. But Pete, right after he was asked about Dwayne Brown, was like, we're not talking about that. You know, kind of, I don't know if he just that's happened to be the way he answered the question. But I don't know. I guess some people were reading something into it, or maybe he was just ready to go home. I don't know.
Probably ready to go home. Again, it's like it's hot out there, and, yeah, you know, he naturally doesn't want to get into contract stuff. And so it's just to brush the question off as quick as possible, even if it sounds like he's mad at something.
Yeah. Well, can we play that real quick, Mike?
Any talks about a contract with him?
We're not talking right now about that.
That's pretty.
I guess he was.
That
abrupt.
Wasn't that bad.
Yeah, I guess not. Because, you know, the deal is Jamal Adams first, and then we'll get to Dwayne Brown, like you said.
Yeah, because again, what ends up happening is that you can open up some good cap room with a Jamal Adams deal, and not that affects Dwayne Brown, because if Dwayne Brown does a deal, I'm sure what it's going to do, let's say it's going to be, you know, 1 year at $10 million extra, that there's going to be a whole bunch of voids there to keep the cap number down for this year and next year. So, you know, in the end, it's like this is just the way business is being done, and it's a little bit different business right now with the way the cap is down, 8% to 182.5, and players going in but not necessarily risking their body if they can't get a deal done.
John, what's your level of confidence that Aldon Smith will be with his team? We were watching him, and he's you see that he's just a different kind of talent, like his ability. He is incredibly strong and explosive, but he's had so many off-the-field issues. The idea that all of a sudden he's going to play 17 regular season games and not have a slip-up and be available the whole time, where's your level of confidence?
Well, again, it's like confidence is a matter of what's going to happen in the courts when he goes there. And I think, what is it, August 24th or something of that nature?
Well, let's just pretend he's going to be available legally.
If he's going to be available, then he's going to be fine. I think, because I think he's a great asset. And then, again, this team is going to be so deep at pass rushers. You know, I'm kind of getting the feeling, I don't know what you feel, is that Robert Kendiche is also having a chance to make this team. You know, because, I mean, he's wild. I mean, I know yesterday when I was over at practice and you were right behind me, I mean, he starts yelling and screaming and talking about getting sacks and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But again, you can see he's a first-round talent, and you can see he's a really good talent. So could you imagine if you have Aldon Smith, a former first-rounder, then you have Kendiche in there too? That's two pretty good additions with what they have at defensive tackle.
Well, then you get Dunlap coming off the edge and off the bench, Mayoa, possibly Daryl Taylor. It's interesting. Kerry Hyder. I mean, there's lots of options there. Yeah, I would be probably what you think, Bob. I just don't count on him. But if he is going to be out there, Aldon Smith, I think he can still do it. He still looks really good.
Yeah, but you kind of wonder. It's like, okay, this was an assault in a coffee shop, okay, down in the New Orleans area. So it's like, how much damage could be done in a coffee shop battle? I mean, that's what you kind of wonder about. Because, again, it's like this wasn't like this was a club. This wasn't in a bar or something like this. I mean, this is where you're sipping lattes.
Yeah, John, I don't think location really matters when it comes to a physical confrontation. Yeah. You're going to do what you're going to do.
Well, everybody was hopped up on caffeine, maybe?
Yeah. Could be. Could be.
You're gonna throw a punch and land it. I don't think where they're at is going to make a ton of difference.
No.
Well, usually more violent things do occur at nightclubs.
It's more likely to take place.
Coffee shops is maybe, point. But yeah, John, I don't, as far as Geno Smith goes, he's been fine, and Pete said as much. He's doing just fine, and it's just about good competition. But it's kind of interesting bringing Mannion in here. The guy was a number two all-time Pac-12 passer. He had 13,600 yards at OSU as a four-year starter, Sean Mannion, and that was second behind Luke Falk, by the way. But Geno Smith's coming out, and he's had a couple of really good practices. So I was just thinking, well, maybe this is kind of interesting because he's been in this offense before. But I don't know, man. Geno, I think every time somebody makes a push, he always finds a way to respond and keep that job.
Yeah, and of course, I mean, what you realize is that maybe this is just an upgrade for somebody on the practice squad because, again, Alex Magoo is still there, and I liked him when he came out as a rookie, and then they were able to get him back. But Mannion has more experience, and you can make him one of the six guys on your practice squad that can do it. And, of course, I mean, if he ends up getting signed by another team, because I think, really, when you look at it, he's pretty much considered one of the better quarterbacks on the street. I know that the Jets looked at him, and I think Chicago looked at him, and a couple teams like that. But, I think that I guess the big thing with Sean is that he knows this offense. And so if he's pressed into an immediate duty or coming off the practice squad or something like that, I mean, he knows what Shane Waldron's all about because he was with him last year.
Hey, one other thing Dave and I were talking about, and we'll get to your questions coming up, 710-710 to the Mac and Jack's text line. We were talking about the receivers and who would be the third most targeted receiver, regardless whether they're a tight end, a running back, or wide receiver. So you're assuming Lockett, DK are going to be your top two. I was thinking it was going to be Everett. Dave went with Disley. Who do you think would be, just in number of targets when the season's over, who would be in that third? Last year it was David Moore.
Yeah, I mean, again, if they can run the ball like they've been running it in practice and all that stuff and minimize the number of throws, then I think they can be in pretty good shape and that would, you know, they can spread it out a little bit more, and maybe the tight ends, and I don't know which one, because I think it's going to be, you know, a lot of substitutions. I mean, don't count out Penny Hart right now. Certainly, everybody's waiting for Estridge to get back and get on the practice field, and so it's like, I think it's going to be spread out a lot, because again, you know, this team's going to mix a little bit more two tight ends, with the idea that you know, they can still go three receivers, but the idea with a good running game is that you don't have to go to three receivers as much, because you can wear down a team, have the lead, all those different things, and not have to come back from behind.
How about Freddie Swain? You know, DK Metcalf was talking about him. And, John, I always say I listen to the players, and when they compliment somebody, sometimes it's about that's their buddy and their roommate or whatever.
True.
But for the most part, I mean, DK Metcalf, and he's thrown two players out there. One is Alex Collins. He said he thinks he's just going to be a monster this year. And then the other one is Freddie Swain. So,
yeah.
I mean, I think DK is probably a pretty good judge of those things.
Yeah, because, I mean, I from the first part of the OTAs, I liked everything that I saw from Alex Collins. Now, I like what he saw when he was on the team a couple years ago, the talent that he has. But overall, I mean, I thought that, you know, you talk about one of the sleepers. I mean, the two sleepers, I think, right now that could wake up and do good things is certainly Alex Collins, because, you know, he's a third that can challenge for the number two job, but I think Rashad Penny looks good enough right now that he can take it. And then the other sleeper is Penny Hart, who, you know, has been getting good praise from Pete Carroll.
All right, John, 253 says, hey, John, is this going to be Kirk Cousins' final year with the Vikings?
Possibly, yeah. I mean, because if they – it depends on how they do. You know, because if they don't win, there could be a lot of changes. I mean, there could be a head coaching change, maybe a general manager change. I know that those guys both signed extensions, but like anything else, you want to win. But, yeah, I think that, you know, Kirk really is on the pressure trail right now. I know that, you know, he's still in COVID-19 situation, but he's going to come back and be on the field tomorrow after about 5 days. So it looks like he was just a contact. You know, because looks like Kellen Mond was the one who got the positive test in the quarterback room. But it looks like he'll be back tomorrow. But, no, he's got a lot of pressure on him because, I mean, you think about he can throw for 4,000 yards. He's a talented quarterback. I think he's considered to be one of the 14 best quarterbacks in this league. But he's not done well in night games. He's not won a playoff game. And those things will be held against him, particularly with the amount of money he makes.
Hey, John, with the situation in Indy, saw somewhere where Philip Rivers hasn't entirely ruled things out of coming back, and then Reich says that this is Carson's team. So, but it's 5 to 12 weeks. By the way, I don't think we've asked you this. Where did this 5 to 12-week time frame come from? I've never heard one with that kind of range. It's usually, you know, 8 to 10 or 2 to 4, but that was weird. But I don't know. Do you think what do you make of his comments when the Philip Rivers news was kind of hitting the wire?
Well, I mean, certainly when you talk 5 to 12 weeks, it came from Frank Reich, you know, because once he came back out of COVID, I mean, he then came back and said, nope, he's going to have surgery. It's going to be 5 to 12 weeks. It's going to be 5 to 12 weeks on, you know, the best guard in football, Quentin Nelson, and they still wonder about Eric Fisher because he may have to miss some time at the beginning of the season because he's still coming off the Achilles. But, you know, Rivers has pretty well been pretty clear in the last couple of days about what he's going to do. What he's talking about, he may make himself available toward the end of the season, but he's down in Alabama coaching high school football, and he's not changing that. He's not going to leave the high school to come up and help out the Colts or any other team in football. He'll consider something right toward the end of the season, but once that football season ends down in Alabama, then that's when the consideration starts for him maybe looking to get back into football for a short period of time.
John, what did you make of the situation in Carolina yesterday with the receiver took a hit, got sent to the hospital, and the guy that hit him, they cut him.
Yeah.
I don't know. Was he a depth guy? Was he somebody they were counting on? I had never heard the guy's name.
I mean, JT Eby is one that is just a camp guy. Wasn't going to, you know, he was probably not going to make the team anyways. But when you know, hit a guy so hard that he's on the ground for 10 minutes and everybody was so worried about him, and then they had to take him to the hospital, I mean, you can understand it. And again, these things do spring up. I mean, you know, Dave's watched it through the years. But in the end, it's like you've got to be, you know, you can't be that vicious when you're in practice. And I know it's padded practices and guys that are doing it. I mean, look at the mess they had with the New York Giants the other day. I mean, everybody, all I think all 90 players got involved in fights, and all of a sudden, here's Daniel Jones, the quarterback, and he's deep under a pile of players that are fighting. And it's like, and you know, Joe Judge was furious and still was furious. I mean, I think he basically went to just about every of the 90 players and yelled at them. And so I don't know how long that took. But again,
he lined them up and just went down the line.
He needed a cough drop by the time he was done.
Pretty much, yeah. He was hoarse. Like, here come the judge. Here come the judge. Here come the judge.
What's that from?
I don't know.
Like Laugh-In or something.
Laugh-In, yeah, yeah.
All right, John, Brian Baldinger had some sophomore breakout players. Alton Robinson made the list. You know, 14 games, 4 sacks, 4 quarterback hits last year, 22 tackles. 5 tackles for loss, so a forced fumble in there. You know, we've heard good things from Cliff Averill. Talk about sleepers. You were talking about that earlier with, you know, Alex Collins and Penny Hart. But Alton Robinson, you know, that with all of the depth that they have as far as pass rush goes, it could be Hyder. It could be Mayoa, who is, you know, the leading sack guy. But could be Alton Robinson, too. I tell you what, that he really had a good rookie year for a fifth rounder.
He really did. I mean, and again, I know that you know, you talk to scouts around the league, and they thought it was wrong that he went in the fifth round. They thought he should have gone higher. And so it's like, you know, he is a talent. I mean, but still, what you wonder about with all these pass rushing defensive ends, how are they all going to get him playing time? I mean, and how are they all going to make the roster?
Yeah, you know, that's a good point. I mean, you've got Al Woods, Puna Ford, probably Brian Monet. I don't know if they're going to keep 4 inside, but
I think they will. Again, LJ Collier, of course, he can maybe move
Collier
inside.
Collier can slide in. Yeah, exactly. So,
and Kandici, I do think, has a chance.
Yeah. Same thing.
John just likes that he was yelling.
Yeah, well, he's been very, like, excited.
Yeah.
Like, he's happy to be out here, and I guess
got a lot of personality.
All the ball boys and the media guys and everybody, it's like he's going around talking to everybody. Like, he's just excited to be here.
Yeah.
Hey, John, did you see Gardner Minshew? I know this happened a little while ago, but we haven't had a chance to talk to you, where they were asking him about being the number 2 quarterback, and in one way, shape, or form said, I haven't gone to the bathroom in a long time. Number 2 is not an option. You know, so
wow,
it was pretty funny. He worded it differently, but you get the meaning.
I get the idea. Yeah.
Okay, John. I'm glad we didn't have to explain.
Yeah,
that
was that was going to be rough. But what do you think? I mean, is he just destined to? Maybe he starts the season. Do you think they start Lawrence, or how do you think that plays out there? And what does his future look like?
No, I mean, Trevor Lawrence was the first pick in the draft and considered to be, you know, the highest rated quarterback since Andrew Luck in 2012. So I think that it's pretty safe to say that Trevor Lawrence is going to be the starting quarterback. And then Gardner right now probably is going to be the backup because C.J. Beathard's in COVID-19 protocol, you know, because I think he tested positive. So in the end, it's like, Gardner has a chance to be a backup. But I think also, I mean, he wouldn't mind if some team would trade for him so we have a better chance to get on the field.
John, any other significant news around the NFL? Any significant injuries? Have you been keeping a count? Nothing's really struck too hard here, I guess. I think Marquise Blair, we talked to him today, John. He's been out. I think he was out a couple of days. He said it's kind of like a bone bruise in his heel or something like that. But no ACLs, no Achilles here. But what about other teams?
Well, there's been 4 ACLs so far.
Wow.
Since the start of camp. So it's like, as I have always said and continue to say, is that when you start camp up, particularly, you're going to have guys tear ACLs. I mean, so there was, I'm waiting to find out about one from Denver, an offensive lineman. You know, I think he tore his ACL yesterday. But no, they've had at least 3 since July 27th, and that I think there's a 4, and we're up to 6 right now. We've had 1 Achilles, that of course being the big one to Cam Akers. You know, I thought you talk about the injuries. How about the scare they had down with the Rams? You know, because Matthew Stafford hit his finger on a helmet and his thumb on a helmet. And, you know, he had to get x-rays, and fortunately for the Rams and him, turns out to be negative. But again, you know, remember how we've seen this so many times with Matthew Stafford? I mean, do you remember the Detroit game, Dave, in Detroit, where he hit his finger, his thumb on a helmet, and, you know, he suffered through it, and he wasn't the same for a couple weeks. And I bet you he's done this like 3 out of the last 4 years. And you wonder about, you know, the way he releases the ball and how vulnerable that is to hit a helmet.
Yeah, I never thought about that. Maybe whatever his release is just makes him more prone to that. But, boy, I tell you, the Rams can't afford to have another setback like that. No. I mean, with Akers, with the losses that they've had, with the losses in their coaching staff, the more I look at it, the more I'm like, I know the NFC West has seemed to be the best division in all of football, but if the Rams drop off significantly, you know, I would not be that surprised.
No, I wouldn't, because, again, it's like you can't lose that many players and not add that much more. Now, I know talking to Les Snead, the general manager, which I just did the other day. I mean, he's kind of like John Snyder in a way. He's did such an incredible job of finding talent to replace talent that leaves, because obviously they have cap issues, they have big contracts and everything else. But you look at that secondary, and Dave, they've got like two undrafted guys starting right now, and one really good one, Williams, who came over on a waiver claim from Baltimore. You know, they lost Troy Hill, but you look at that group, and if you look in that defense, you have so many fifth-rounders or undrafted guys that are out there, which is really incredible to see the success that they've had.
Well, I guess they have Floyd, and they have Aaron Donald. And
Jalen Ramsey.
So, though, I mean, those are three big-time players, but it's still just three.
Mm-hmm. No, and no doubt. But, of course, those are three great ones. And I guess their position is, hey, if you've got cornerback, defensive tackle, and pass rush covered, you can still get through pretty well.
Is Nick Foles going to get himself traded?
Debatable. I mean, right now, nobody's made a move on him. I mean, Indy hasn't made a move on him, and Philly made a move on him, but he made a move away because he didn't want to go back to Philly because he didn't think they were going to be a good team. He's the third-string quarterback, and he talks a good game. I mean, he was hoping that Frank Wright would be willing to do something, but so far, Frank is just trying to get through with Jacob Eason and see what he can do, getting Brett Hundley caught up.
John, I guess we will talk next week because we've got short shows in the next 2 days. You've got a short show on Saturday, one-hour show, you said?
8 to 9, yes.
8 to 9 on Saturday. All right. Well, have a great rest of the week and weekend, and we'll talk to you on Monday.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, there you go. If you missed any of today's Cold Hard Facts, brought to you by Coors Light, made to chill, download the podcast at 710sports.com. Was Yusei Kikuchi's start the most important part of the Mariners series win in Tampa? We'll talk about that next with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.